Begin the current daven, Sefetz B'Metzia, daven Samach Dalet. Begin 9 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, continuing in the explanation of the halacha by Mishnah, where the Gemara ultimately concluded the interpretation of the case when the Mishnah says Ezehu Tarbis, which had this complicated case of where someone sold something for 25 dinarim, which was the wheat, and then that's what was done on what's called Peiskin ala Peiris, which was a forward payment for something, but the delivery is only going to be a later point in time, where that is, as we'll learn later on, the Mishnah Ayin Beis, which was how this halacha was explained from a Brayis from Oishia, that it's usser for someone to do that in general, because what happens is that the seller has the money, but he didn't give the product back, so essentially it's like a loan on that, and when he gives back the product that was purchased, but he's giving it at a later point in time, it might have gone up in price, and then he's going to be giving back more than what he got. That's agar. That's the reward that person has for nutter, for delay, for holding on to money, which is what the essence of what ribis is, that you give back more than what you got because you're able to hold on to that money. That it's forbidden unless if the person, the seller, has what's called yeshla, he actually has it, he just didn't give it, then it's permitted, because then we view it as if it's in the domain of the lekeach already, or if it's at least yotz ha'ashar. If the market value is already established, then even if he doesn't have it, as long as he has money from the buyer, and he could go ahead and get it, even though he didn't buy it, then it's already considered as if it's already in the domain of the lekeach, and then it's not going to be us either. So on that theme, the Gemara continues, Amrav Kahana, he says, Havyasivna Bishili Pirke de Rav. I came at the end of the lecture of Rav, and I didn't hear the beginning of his drasha. Now, Mishamis to Ka'amr Kari Kari, or what I was hearing at the end of the shir, I heard that he was constantly mentioning and talking about deluin, which are gourds, certain type of a vegetable. Now, this is what I constantly heard him talking about. But later down, I didn't know what he was talking about, because I came at the end of the shir, but I heard him saying, and the gourds, and the gourds. So Basa de Kamarav Amrilahus, he said, so he said after Rav got up from giving the lectures, I said to all those around, my Kari Kari de Kamarav, what is this that Rav was talking about here in this shir, in his lecture regarding gourds? So Amrili, they said to me, Hocha Kamarav, this is what Rav was saying. Hai man de yob zuzi ligino akari. He was talking about a case of somebody that gave a zuzi, a coin, a zuz, to a gardener to buy gourds. Now, but Ka'azli Asara Kari, the going rate was for one zuz was 10 gourds that were b'nei zarta. A zeres is a half a amma, meaning you were able to get, the case is talking about, for a zuz, 10 gourds that are the size of a half a amma. Now, but the gardener said to the consumer, look, you have vinalach, I'll give you at a later point in time, give me the money now, but I'll give you later point in time, b'nei garmita. I'll give you that each gourd is going to be an amma, double the size. So on that said, Rav, isnahu, if the gardener has already big ones in his garden that are amalong, so then shari, so it's permitted for him to do this contract with him to take his money now, and instead of giving him the going rate, which would give him 10 half amma size ones, if he'll be willing to accept it only, let's say, in a few weeks from now, then he'll give him double the size for the same amount of money. Then it's permitted because it's what's called yeshla, he has it. Lasnahu, if he doesn't have any real big ones, he just has the small ones, then usher, then it's going to be forbidden, then it's considered ainloy. He doesn't have. Now that thing we're asked, pshita. That's pretty obvious. What is Rav teaching in this lecture? It's actually a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis that talks about this halacha, that you have to have an element of yeshloy. You have to have that he has that item for it to be allowed to have a forward payment. If not, that's going into the category of rabbinic ribis, because you're giving him back more than what he paid for. He paid for half amma ones, if you're going to give him a few weeks later because you could hold on to the money and use it, and then you give him back double the size, that is going to be considered ribis. So I think Mora says, Ma de tema, what would you have said that maybe this case is different? Kivin de memelu karavu, since the gourds, they expand, they grow on their own. So Shaper Dummy said, maybe I would consider it as if he already has it. You're right, you need to have an element of yeshloy to allow piece of color payers have a forward payment that delivery is only at a point in time. But since it is there and it's actually going to grow by itself, maybe we would consider as if he already has it, even though it's not the Amma size yet. That's what Rav was teaching, that no, that's considered Ainloy, and therefore that's forbidden. So the Gemara asked, come on, so who is Rav going like when he says this halacha kiddush, that even if it would grow on its own, but since it's actually not here yet in reality, therefore it's forbidden? So it says the Gemara, ki hai tanda de tanya, like tanda the following braisa. The Braisa says, "Hoylech lach leves izav." Somebody was going on his way to milk his goats, or beligzus as rechelov to shear the wool off his sheep, or velirdus as kavartoi, where the reason why it says the word lirdus is the term that's used by, in Talmudic times, they would bake their bread by throwing a slab of dough on the wall of the ovens, and then they would take it down, that would be called redir, take it down off the walls. So the same thing is by a honeycomb, that the bees make them in like these lobes of honey, which are attached from wall to wall, so that's why the terminology used in the Gemara is that of lirdus, of taking it down, but it means to take out honey from his honeycomb. So he's on his way to do these things. And Mitzoy Chaveri, and he encounters his friend. So then this guy who is about to take out his milk or his honey or the wool says to his friend, look, Masha izi chol vois machalach, whatever my goat will be milked, I'll sell it to you for this amount of money. And I don't know how much milk is going to come out. Might be a little, might be a lot, but whichever one it is, that's what I'll sell you. Or Masha recheli goiz vois machalach, whatever wool I'm going to be able to shear off my sheep, I'll sell to you right now for a certain amount of money. However, how much honey I get out, I'll sell to you now. Says the Brice, so Samutra, it's permitted. Now, the reason for this is, and this is the halacha concept known of Karv Lehefsid Kemoy Leschar, is because here he's accepting upon himself this buyer, whether it be a loss or whether it be a gain. So therefore, even if it turns out that he gave him money, the seller, and he's only going to get the milk or the honey however much later it takes till he gets that delivery, because the guy's on his way, it might take him a few days to do what he has to do, and then he might be getting more than he should be getting for his money, that's not considered agar natale. The reason being, because if it would be less, if he potentially could get a loss, we don't know, it's a risk, he would still take it, so therefore that's not considered ribbis. Ribbis is only when you have a definitive construct that you're going to get more than what you're giving. Here, since it's in general, it's not a loan, it's only rabbinic, in that type of situation where it's not even definite you're going to get more than what you gave, even though you're giving now and it's to get later back at a later point in time more than what you gave, therefore, since you could also lose, that is permitted. Aval im amala, but says the Raisa, but if he said to him, Masha izi chol vas kach v'kach, he specified a certain amount of milk that my goats will make, that's what I'm selling to you now. Machalach, that sold to you, and he's making up with him right now a pre-purchased price already. He's giving an upfront payment. Or Masha Rechele Geizes Kach V'Kach Machalach, however, how much wool my animal is going to be, the specific amount of wool, he said, that will be the sheared, that's what is sold to you. Or Masha Kavarti Rei the Kach V'Kach Machalach, this amount of honey I'm going to take out of my beehive, that's how much is going to be sold to you for this amount of money. And that, says the Braisa, us is going to be forbidden. Because that's your classic case of, that's a definite, because that's not a, like the previous case was however much comes out. So that could be a gain or it could be a loss, and therefore that's not considered a ribbis. But here he's telling you a specific amount he knows he's going to get, and therefore by giving him upfront the money, he's getting back more, he's getting back later on, which again might be more than what it is right now. So that's going to be considered a problem of pisuk mois, because it's a case of einloi, where he doesn't have. Now he points out the Gemara, and this is what's like Rav. Even though that this milk, this honey are things that come by themselves, but and still keeping the lesson, but he shite to us, since it's not there at that moment, it's going to be forbidden. So although that, but it's till he gets to that stuff, till he gets to the milk, till whatever it is that he's going to give to this person, these are things that happen by themselves. Since he doesn't have it at that moment, therefore, that's what the Bryce is saying, and this is the point that Rav was saying too, is that if you don't have it at that moment, even though it goes by itself, and he's going to get that amount, still it's usher because you don't have it literally in the world right now. You don't have it, and therefore that's going to be forbidden. Now, Igadami, those that say, regarding this halacha of the gourds, that Amar Rava, that he actually says, Kivin the Memele Karava, since it actually does grow by itself, the shopper dummy, that actually is permitted, meaning in other words, disagrees with this first version that Rav was saying, that it's usser, because you don't have it, even though it's going to come, but you don't actually have it. Rav actually holds that that is okay, because since it's going to come by itself, we view it as if you already have it, you don't have to do anything to create it, and it's like yeshlai, and therefore we could already consider it in the domain of the purchaser, and therefore even if it goes up in price, it's not considered ribbis, because it's not like he's getting back at a later point in time, he actually got it right now. Now that the Gemara, but Vatanya Linton, the Braisa we just quoted that seemingly supports Rav, that says Kach v'Kach Aser. We said regarding the shearings of the wool and the milk, we said that if he specifies a certain amount, since he doesn't actually have it, even though it's something that happens by itself, it's still considered ein loy, and it's forbidden to do pisuk on that. So the answer to the Gemara now. No, hasam over there, by the milk that comes later on, lav mine karovu, it's not growing, it's not coming from the milk that's already in the animal at the time when the sale was, and that when by the time he gets to where his animal is and he's going to milk it, that extra milk, that although it comes by itself, but it's not coming from what is already extant in the world, it's new milk. Because when you take away the entire contents of the milk of that goat, other milk comes, even though there's not a drop that you left in the cat in the goat, because it's not from the previous milk that the new milk comes. It's new milk that Hashem made the way the goat is, that new milk could be created. Now, hacho, however, over here, what expands on the gourds that are small and becomes big, that's minei karavu. That is coming from the small gourds that's already here in the world that was there, that was sold. It's from that that it actually creates the increase. And therefore, the chishak le la lahai, when you take away the small gourds, lo yosachin beduchte, you're not going to get any big gourds that come and take its place. Obviously, says Rava, it is growing from the previously existent gourds. That's where the big ones come on. That's considered yeshloi. That's already there. It just has to grow. So therefore, says Rava, that's different than the case of the Braisa, where the honey and the milk and the wool, that doesn't come from the previous wool. It's new things. So therefore, that's what's going to be Aser, but in this case, it's going to be Mutter because it's already extant. It just has to expand, but since the expansion is by itself, it's already considered enough Yeshloi to be permitted to do a Pisik on that item. Now, the Gemara continues with a related discussion. Amar Baya, he says, Sharidle le'inish le'mim le'lechavri. A person is permitted to tell his friend, Helech arbe zuzi, here, take these four zuz, achavita dechamra, for the payment of this barrel of wine that you have by you, because I want to buy that from you. Now, eat takfa, but he tells the seller, if that wine spoils, b'shuscha, it's in your domain, meaning it's your loss, I'm going to get my money back. Iyakra izila, but if it goes up in price or down in price, b'shusi, it's in my domain. So it says Abaye, that's permitted for a person to do when he gives the money, even though he doesn't take the product right now, what we call pisuk, it's permitted even though he's not going to take the loss of if it spoils, but if it goes up or down in price, then he'll say it's considered mine, I'll take the gain or the loss. So on that, asked the Gemara, Amalei Rav Shrabi Labaye, he asks, as we continue to Amud Beis, but hi, the case that you just described is what's called karv l'schar. It's close to getting a profit, meaning if, let's say, it goes up in price, and it's far from a loss, because one of the conditions that he made was that if it spoils, he's not taking responsibility, the buyer said. Now, the question is coming from later on the paragraph of Einam and Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that if someone does this operation of karv l'schar v'rochik l'hefzid, which means to say that if he's doing a business dealing, where he's doing this pisuk, where it's very close for him to get a profit and very far from him to get a loss, he's considered a rasha. Why? Because he's taking ribbis. The reason why he's taking ribbis is because since he doesn't accept responsibility regarding this item that he purchased, so you can't really consider it as if he bought it. Because if you bought it, you bought it. It's all yours. If it spoils, it's yours too. From the fact that he's saying, if it spoils, it's not mine, which means say then he doesn't fully own it. If he doesn't fully own it, then what's this money that he gave to the seller? Generally, when we create the concept of pisuk, is that we say, even though he didn't get the item yet, but it's as if it's his already, because that person has it, he just didn't give it to him, and therefore, even if it goes up in price, which then that's a potential halva, because the money was given first, and then he only gave back the item a month later, which for that time he got to use the money, and he's giving back more than what he gave, so that would generally be a problem about ribbis, but since it's yeshlo, we view it as if the item's already in the domain of the buyer. Problem is, the way you're saying it, Abaya, here it's like, it's not, you can't say you already viewed it in the domain of the buyer, because if it spoils, we don't view it as in his domain. So it's not a full-fledged sale. Therefore, essentially, the money that he gave to the seller is really like a loan. And since it's closed for him to get a gain, that's a problem of ribbis, because he's going to get back more than what he gave, and it's a halva. So Amalei, Abaya said to him, no. Kivin the Mekabel Aleh Zula, you're right. He didn't accept it upon himself the loss if it spoils, but since he took upon himself the loss of if it depreciates in value, So karv lezeh ulezehu. So then that's, as we see later on, that braisa, where it's close to both a loss and to a gain, that's not considered a problem about ribis, because that's something that, as we mentioned that concept before, if it's close to either one, that is considered a trade-off. It is considered the profit of the interest is because of the acceptance of the possibility of the loss. It's not considered a profit of the loan. It's considered a profit of the risk that he took regarding of it, that it could go up or down the price. So it's karv lezeh ulezeh. It's not karv leschar and rachi lehefsid. Abai says, no, it's considered somewhere in the middle. And therefore, that's not a problem about for this rabbinic halacha about karv leschar and rachi lehefsid. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak of the halachas of ribis of lending on interest. So the Mishnah tells us, hamal v'schaver, if someone lends his friend money, you have to be careful that ribis could come in many different forms. Even though you don't say, okay, you got to give me back 5% of the money, but lo yodur b'chatzir chinam, he's not allowed to live in that borrower's courtyard for free. And below yiskim m'menem b'pachis, neither is he allowed to rent it for below the market value. Then they should ribis. That is interest, because what you're doing is you're getting something back from him more than what would normally be, and that's considered interest on the loan that was given. So therefore, that's forbidden. So expanding on this concept, the Gemara brings out Amar of Yisib Aminyumi Amar Rav Nachman. It says Afal Pisha Amar, even though we said in Baba Kama on Daf Chafal from an Alf Hadar Bechatzar Chaverish Lemidaitiv. If someone lives in his friend's courtyard without that guy's awareness, he squats and lives over there. So says the Gemara over there, he does not have to pay the owner of the courtyard that he was living in the rental fee. Now, the Gemara there explains that it's talking about where the owner of the courtyard normally doesn't rent out his courtyard, but the guy who's living over there normally would pay to live somewhere, where that's a case of what's called zenen v'zeloi chaser. The guy who's living over there is gaining, because he would normally he would have to pay money to live somewhere else, in a hotel or some apartment. But the guy who owns the property, he's not losing anything because he wouldn't rent it out anyway. So says the Gemara over there, when he does live over there, he doesn't have to pay to the owner. But says Rav Nachman, hilvo v'dor b'chatzera. But if, let's say, he lent him money and then he lived in the borrower's courtyard, tzarech lahal se'socha, then he does have to pay him for squatting and for living there in his courtyard. So the Gemara says, "Ma'ikam Ashalom." What is Rav Nachman teaching us? Tanina, this is the halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Hamav es chaver." If someone lends his friend money, lo yodu bechatzir chinam, he's not allowed to live there for free, and v'lo yiskim in poch, he's not even rented for cheaper than it usually goes for. Mneishu ribis, because that's interest on his loan. Says the Gemara, "Imam Esnitin, had we only known the halacha of the Mishnah, havamina, I would have thought to say, hanamili bechatzir dekayma la'agra v'garva de'avid lemega. I would think that maybe that only applies to a courtyard that's normally rented, and to a person, the guy who's living over there, that would normally rent a different place. So the lender would have rented another place if he didn't find this guy's courtyard to live in, which makes him nana. And the owner of the courtyard is actually losing, he's considered chaser, because he usually rents out his courtyard. And now by this guy living over there, people think it's occupied, and he's losing out by this guy living over there. So that's where I would have thought to say, where that's a real loss, and there a real gain. So in other words, that's a real transfer of money from the borrower to the lender, because borrower's losing, lender's gaining, and therefore that would be considered interest on the loan. Avol, but without Rav Nachman, I would think that chatzah delikayim al agra, but let's say a courtyard where the borrower doesn't usually rent it out, where it's considered loy chaser, he's not losing anything. And v'gavar delay over lemeger, and the lender doesn't usually rent. He would sleep on the park bench. It doesn't make a difference. Where it makes him loinana, because without that he wouldn't have rented any other place. So therefore, emaloy. I would think that then that's not considered ribis on the money. The lender's not gaining anything. He would have lived anywhere else anyway. He wouldn't have paid for an apartment. And the borrower's not losing anything because he doesn't rent it out anyway. So maybe that wouldn't be considered ribis. Kamash Malan, that's what Rav Nachman is teaching, that although essentially really it shouldn't be ribis, because neither one is losing or gaining, but it's mechzik ribis. It looks like ribis, because here you have a lender getting a service by the borrower, and that's more than what the money that he lent him, and therefore it looks like interest, and therefore that's forbidden. Now Rashi points out, what we can learn from this halacha, is that it's forbidden to lend money on collateral of the borrower's house for the lender to live there in the interim, even if he deducts from the loan money the amount of how much the rent would cost by living there in the house. which is actually less than that, because the Mishnah teaches us over here that lo yiskim imenu bepachis, said that you're not allowed to rent it for a cheaper value. So therefore, that's the same thing where the guy is deducting from the rent, but he's not paying the full amount of the rent. You're not allowed to do that. Now Rashi says that's in contrast to the Gemara later on, Daf Samach Zayin, which talks about someone that's lent someone money and he takes collateral of that guy's vineyard, where there we said that it's permitted to do that, even though you're deducting a certain amount, not the full amount. Why is it different? Because over there, at times, it could be that the lender's not going to take anything from the vineyard, because a vineyard doesn't always produce. Now, so therefore, in such a situation, since it's a doubtful situation, that's where we said that it's not a definite gain. Therefore, in regards to this rabbinic case of ribbis, that's going to be permitted. But in this case, where it's definite benefit, where it doesn't have to produce, it is a house, it is a courtyard. Therefore, since there's no doubt, so therefore, since he's only paying less than that amount, that falls into the category of mechzib ribbis, mechzib ribbis, and therefore that's going to be asr. That's the chiddush that Rav Nachman is teaching us more than the Mishnah, where it's even when there is no actual benefit, but still it looks like ribbis. Now, Ikedami, that does say a slightly different version, and the Gemara will contrast these two versions, that Omer of Yisub Amanyumi, Omer of Nachman, that Afal Pisha Amru, even though they said in Baba Kam, Hador Bechatzach Haver Shalemi Dait, if someone lives in his friend's courtyard without that owner's awareness, Ein Etzarach La'al Slei Sachar, doesn't have to pay him, which again we described that that's the case of Zen and Mazel Echasser, but Hilvelnu V'dor Bechatzer, but if someone says, lend me money, the borrower says, lend me money, and then you could live in my courtyard, then he has to pay him, because again, that's the problem you run into, that it appears to be like ribbis, because even if, let's say, either one's not getting any loss or benefit, but if he's telling him, look, okay, then you could use my property if you lend me the money, that's more than what the actual return of the loan is, that looks like ribbis. So explains the Gemara, man da amma hilvo, according to the first version that said that he didn't make up beforehand with him that he's going to lend him the money on the condition that he could live in his courtyard. It was just that he lent him, and then he went without his awareness and went into his courtyard. And still the first version said that that's going to be aser, so kolshken hilveni. So for sure that first version would hold that the second version would be forbidden, where if he made up beforehand, what is usually the biblical category of what's katzatz, ribbis ketsutza, which you make up beforehand, a definite interest, that in and through it's through the prism of ribbis, because he's saying, okay, lend me and then you could do this, for sure that's going to be asr. But says the Gemara, mandam hilveni, but according to the second version, that it was said, well, what is Rav Nachman saying is asr, in contrast to the Gemara Baba Kama, that if he says, oh, lend me and then you could live in my courtyard, aval hava ulai. But that second version would hold, but if he didn't make that up beforehand, he just lent him money and then he went and the lender went and slept in his house, in his courtyard, then that would not be forbidden. My time, what's the reason? Kivin the Mikara, Labadaiti, the Hachi Isri, since originally that was not the intention when he lent him the money, it's less lamba. So that doesn't bother us, that doesn't concern us, that doesn't give the appearance of ribbis, because there is no gain over here. And they didn't make this up beforehand. So the fact that they're sleeping in this house or in this courtyard where the guy doesn't care and this guy doesn't gain anything, that's not considered a problem. And therefore, according to that version, the halacha of our Mishnah that says that it is Asr must be talking about where he had made up with that with him beforehand, either by the giving of the money or after the giving of the money, but either way, since they made that up, what's called kitzitza, that's forbidden. Then you can't live there for free, or you can't do it less than how much it usually goes for. But if they didn't make up anything and the guy just lives there, that the second version of Nachman says, that would be permitted, because that's zen loinene and vizeloi chaser. So the Gemara continues with a discussion that will relate back to this halacha, that Rav Yisa bar Chama, Takif Avdei de Inchi, he would grab the slaves of different people, Damaski Buhuzuzi, that owed him money, so he would grab their slaves of his debtors. V'avid Buhavidit, and he would do work, he would force those slaves of his debtors to do work for him. So Amalei Rava Bereis, so his son Rava said to him, Mike Time Avid Maharchi, why does the master, why does Tati, why do you do this? So Amalei says, Anuk Rav Nachman Sevirli, could I hold a Rav Nachman? What? Rav Nachman says, Avda Nohoim Kreise, a slave, the bread of his stomach, meaning the food that he eats, Loi Shavi, he's not even worth the food that he eats. So, and I'm feeding him the day that he works. So the owner is for sure happy with what I'm doing, because it's a loss to have a slave. You feed him more than what he gives you. So I'm feeding him that day, so the fact that I'm working with him, don't worry, the owners are okay with that. Samalei, so his son said to him, he says, Eimadam Rav Nachman, when did Rav Nachman say this halacha, is kigun Dari Avde? It's like his slave Dari, that was named Dari, the Mirakad Beikubi, who he was a joker. He would dance in the bars and the taverns that people could give him a few coins and that he could buy a drink. Where that he's not worth the money that it takes to feed him. But did Rav Nachman say regarding other slaves? Meaning there's a reason why people aren't into slaves. Slaves are not that expensive and you get a lot of work out of them. To feed them is not is not as much as the work that you're doing. So here you're taking and working with their slaves. It's a loss for the owners. How can you go ahead and grab them away? So his father said to him, Ano, me, ki hadrab Daniel barav katina amr rav severely. I hold like the following halacha of rav. Dama that he says, Hatekiv Abdir Shachavir, if someone grabs away the slave of his friend, Vasabai Malacha, and he does work with him, so Patr, he's exempt. Now, why is he exempt? Because as the Gatinya Tab of Samachim et Aleph, the Nichalei Delay Nister Abde, the owner is pleased that his slave is not, he doesn't want his slave to get used to being lazy. Meaning, even if the owner doesn't have work for him, I would see opportunities when I just see the slave walking around. Then I grab my debtor slave and say, here, do work for me, and I would feed him that day. So you're right, even though maybe his value, his work is more than how much the food costs, but the owner is pleased because he doesn't want his worker to just be walking around lazy and get used to that lazy type of attitude. So Amalei, his son said to him again, he says, Nambahana mili hechad lemasik bezuzi. So when would that be okay that someone would be exempt from grabbing someone's slave and putting him to work because the owner is pleased that at least his slave's not just sitting around being lazy? That's only if that guy who's grabbing the slave is not a creditor of that guy who he's grabbing away the slave. That guy doesn't owe him any money. But Mar, the master, meaning Tati, Kivin the Masik Behuzuzi, since you're collecting money by them, they owe you money. Mechzi Kiribis, it looks like ribis. Because the Amr of Yesub Amin Yom Amr of Nachman, which is this halacha that we mentioned before, that Rav Nachman says, Ava Bisha Amr Hadar Bechatzacha Vereshlemi Daiti in the Tzarch Lal Zaysacha. Although there are certain things that are permitted, like grabbing the slave and putting him to work, or like going into someone's courtyard that guy doesn't usually rent it out anyway, so it's not a loss for him. And this guy who's living there is gaining, which is called Zenen Vezele Chaser, that is permitted for a person to do. But if someone lends someone money and then he lives in his courtyard, he has to pay him. Why? Everyone else doesn't. Why does this guy have to? Because it looks like ribbis. Here also, it looks like ribbis because here you lent him $100. He owes you $100. Now, besides $100 he's going to give you, you're also going to have worked with his slave, which you're going to be getting more from this person than what you lent him. That looks like ribbis. So Amalei, Hadribis. If I said, you're right, I retract. Right, and that is because it is different than the regular type of situation. Since they owe me money, one would think that almost that to the contrary, for sure, they owe me money, I should be able to allow to do these things for them. On the contrary, because of the halacha that appears like ribbis, where you're actually not allowed to take anything more than what you lent that person, like the halacha of a Mishnah, and therefore he retracted and he says he's not going to do that anymore.